Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh, my friends, it's so wonderful to be here. The presence of the Lord is so thick in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning. And I want to thank you, Pastor Barry, for saying yes and allowing me to do this. I really do feel it's from the Lord. And I want to thank the people in this church who've been praying for me. I know that there's many of you. Most of you knew that I was diagnosed with a brain tumor shortly after Tom passed away last year. And I've been going through chemo and radiation and all the side effects that go along with it. And you've been praying for me, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate every single prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The day that Pastor Barry talked about was the 15th day after the end of my radiation. And it was a miraculous day. If 5 is the number of grace, surely 15 is a triple grace day. So that day I woke up and I felt so good. I felt better than I'd felt for months and better than I have since, to tell you the truth. I could see, I could read, I could write, and I had energy, and I went to have a little nap, and all of a sudden, as Pastor said, I was preaching this sermon. I lay in my bed, and I preached a sermon from beginning to end, and I saw myself doing it right here where I'm standing right now. And so, as he says, we called, and that's why we're here now. But I really do believe that this is a word for your church. I really do. I believe that, and so I'm going to share it now, that sermon that I preached as I lay in my bed, and it's called No Other Name, No Other Name But the Name of Jesus, No Other Name. Okay, let's go to the first scripture. It's Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. That's our text for today. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So there's salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. I do think sometimes we don't always appreciate the fullness of salvation, of what it is. And I know that once we are saved, we know we're going to go to be with Jesus when we die. We're going to go to heaven. We know that, and that's a very big part of our salvation. Of course it is. But the part I want to talk about today is the name of Jesus that you received when you were born again. When you opened your heart to him and said, "Come on in, Jesus," you received the authority to use the name of Jesus in your life. It's something like when you get married. Now, when Tom and I got married, he gave me his name, Williams. 55 years later, I still carry that name. But that's when I received it, was the day we got married. And from that moment, I could sign a legal contract. It would be legal with my new name. And he trusted me with his name. He trusted me not to run up a bunch of bills we couldn't pay, which most often worked, usually. Usually that worked. I remember Tom always, he loved to tell jokes, you know. He was telling somebody, "Iris, lost your credit card." And his friend said, "Oh, no, did you report it, like, lost or stolen?" Well, no, I didn't, because the thief is spending less than she is. That was him. He always had a joke. Oh, I got to look at the time. Just a minute. Okay, there. I got to keep an eye on that. No, he trusted me with his name. He trusted that I would act in a manner that would be bring integrity to his name and not shame. And we wanted to be known as a couple that if we said we were going to do something, we did it. You could count on us. We were there. So a very similar thing happened when you were born again. Jesus gave you the use of his name. That beautiful, sinless, perfect name. And he said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He wants you to have everything that you need in this life. Everything to have life and to have it abundantly. Everything to carry on what he has called you to do on this earth. And it doesn't matter if you're a 5-year-old child or a 95-year-old man. When the day you accept Jesus, you also receive his name. So let's look at some of the things that his name provides in your life. Our next scripture is Acts 3, verses 1 to 8. Now, this is a wonderful story, a wonderful, amazing story. I love this story. Peter and John were going to pray, and on their way to the temple, they see this blind, lame man begging outside the beautiful gate. And Peter says to him, look at us, look at us. They get his attention. So he looks at them, and he's got expectations, this man. He figures he's going to get money. That's what he's asking for. But no, this is not what happens. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money for you. But what I have, I'm going to give you. What I have, I give to you. And he reached out and he took him by his hand and he lifted him up. And immediately the lame man, his ankle bones, his feet, all became strengthened, and he leapt to his feet, and he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple with Peter and John. He had been crippled from the time he was a baby, and this is what happened when Peter said the name of Jesus. He was healed completely. This was not a headache. This was not a little cut finger. This man had been lame his whole life. Oh, what a miracle. Do you think the people around the beautiful gate had ever seen anything like that before as they watched this man walking and leaping and praising God with everything that was in him? What a story. What a story that is. Well, there's three things I'd like you to notice in this scripture. First of all, the name of Jesus is much more important than money. You notice what Peter said? I don't have any money, but what I have, I'm giving to you. The name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So what's more important, money or the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus. That's right. That is right. The second thing that I want you to notice, it's in my notes here. The name of Jesus brings healing. Healing. There's healing in his name. There's healing for every kind of affliction and disease. The name of Jesus is powerful and holds healing. Just by the mention of his name, that's all Peter did. He just reached his hand out and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so he did. And the third thing I want you to notice about this scripture, Peter had the authority to use the name of Jesus, but he did not use it for his own benefit, not on this occasion, but he reached out to others. He used it for the benefit of his neighbor, or I mean, I don't know if he knew this man. He probably did. He passed by him many times, knew him as a beggar in the gate. But that's who he used it for. So that authority in the name of Jesus is not just for your own benefit, my friends, but it's for the benefit of others. All right, we're going to go to our next scripture, see what else. What else the name of Jesus that we should use in our life? And we're going to go to Luke 10, verse 17. Now, Luke 10 is the story of Jesus sending out the 70 disciples. He sent them two by two, and he gave them instructions to heal the sick and to look for people in trouble and needed help, and to help them, to minister to them. This is like this whole bunch of missionaries that he sends out, right? And he gave them instructions. He said, don't take any money with you, and eat whatever you're given in the houses that you visit. And then he said, and if they don't accept you there or your message, shake the dust off your feet and go on to the next guy. So that was their instructions. So in verse 17 in chapter 10, they had come back to Jesus to report, and boy, were they excited. And they say, Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In your name. Even the very demons have to flee. Now, I want to tell you a modern story that my hairdresser told to me. He had a salon in an old house in Regina down on College Avenue. That's where the salon was. And as old houses do, you know, when it gets windy and rainy, they creak and they make noises and all kinds of things like that. But in any case, he had hired a young girl, a fairly new girl right out of beauty college, and she was working there. And soon after she started work, she had a client who was going to come a little bit later, 8 o'clock or so in the evening. And everyone else had gone home, and it was just her left there. So here she was in this old house and waiting for this client in the evening, and it was getting dark, and the house was making funny noises, and she didn't like it. And then all of a sudden, like, she began to get really, really scared. So she phoned my friend, her boss, and she told him, that I don't know what's going on here, but there's something in this house. It's like evil. I hate it. I don't think I can stay here to wait for my customer. I don't know what to do. Oh, he said, well, I can tell you what to do. Okay, well, what do I do? Well, he said, there's only one thing I know that's more powerful, is stronger than anything evil in that house, and that's Jesus. Oh, she said, okay. Well, what is that? What do I do? Well, he said, first of all, like, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, sure, I believe in Jesus. I go to church a couple of times a year. I believe in Jesus. Okay, he said, well, that's a good start. Well, she said, what else do I have to do? Well, he said, it's pretty simple. Just say in the name of Jesus, be gone out of this house. But he said, there's one problem. What's that? Well, you don't really have authority to use the name of Jesus like that. Well, okay, she said, so what do I do? Like, what's the next step? Well, he said, the next step is that you need to open your heart and ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and your Savior. Oh, she said. So he asked her, would you think you would like to do that? Oh, yeah, I would love to do that. So he led her in the sinner's prayer over the phone, just like that. Okay, she said, now what? She is quite a girl, I think. Anyway, he said to her, okay, now You have Jesus in your life, you have Jesus in your heart, and you have the authority to use the name of Jesus and kick that thing right out of that house. Just say, in the name of Jesus, any evil thing that's not of him, be gone in the name of Jesus. So he had to repeat that two or three times. And then she said, okay, that's enough. He's gone, I know it. She said, he's gone. I'm fine. He said, so are you going to wait for your customer? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll wait for him. And do you know what amazes me? Well, a lot of things about that story, but that little girl, that young girl, 5 minutes old in Jesus, had authority over demons, and they had to flee. She had the authority in that name of Jesus. Now listen, a little girl, 5 minutes old in Christ, if she can do it, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. We can all do it, right? She had the authority, and she stepped into it and used it. Okay, we have one last scripture here, and it's about forgiveness, because there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is Jesus hanging on the cross, the cruelest death you can imagine, and looking down at the ones who put him there and said, Father, forgive them. He forgave them. To me, that's the greatest story of forgiveness in the history of the world. What an amazing thing. I know sometimes we have trouble forgiving people for small offenses, but can you imagine? That's a very huge offense. And he forgave them full and freely. He forgave them. The last time I was in church here, Shauna was preaching, and she told my favorite Corrie Ten Boom story about forgiveness. And if you bear with me, I'd like to tell it again, because I think it is such a great, great story. It's so wonderful. A couple of years ago, Tom and I got to go to Amsterdam with Tara and Mark for a little holiday. We went to a cheese factory, and we went to a wooden shoe factory, and we went to Corrie Ten Boom Museum, which was the highlight of the trip, I think. And this is the actual house where Corrie and her family lived, and where they hid out Jews during the Second World War, the Nazi occupation. And, you know, they were betrayed by somebody that they tried to help, and they went to prison. In fact, Mr. Ten Boom died in prison soon after he was arrested. And Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany, where Betsy subsequently died in that camp. Corrie was released on a technicality just a couple of days before all the women her age were going to be sent to the gas chamber. She got released. You know, the Lord had, he was not finished with her yet. He had things for her to do. So after the war, she traveled around speaking, and she told her story, and she told how no place is so dark that the light of Jesus Christ cannot shine. That was her message, really. So she was speaking in Germany one evening, and she looked toward the back of the hall, and she saw a man there, and she recognized him. He had been a guard at the camp where she was incarcerated. And he, not only had he been a guard, but he was one of the most cruel, meanest guards of the whole camp. And she felt like Betsy died because of ill treatment, of course, but some of it at the hands of this guard. And so she looked at him, and she said to the Lord, don't let him come up here. But of course he did. He stood up and he walked up to the front. And he said to her, "Miss Ten Boom, I'm sure you don't recognize me." She recognized him, all right. She did. He said, "I'm sure you don't recognize me, but I was a guard at Ravensbrook Camp." And he said, "You know, God has forgiven me for all the evil things that I've done. But I wonder, could you forgive me too?" And inside, she was screaming, "No, I can't forgive him. Lord, don't ask me to forgive him. Don't ask me. I don't have it in me. I can't do it. How could I forgive him? He had a hand in Betsy's death, my dear Betsy. No, I can't forgive him." And the Lord said, Corey, can you lift up your hand and hold it out to him? Could you do that much?" She said, "I don't know, Lord. I don't know if I can, but I'll try. I'll try." So she lifted up her hand and held it out to the man. And the moment that she touched his hand, she said, forgiveness welled up in her heart, inside her. The forgiveness of Jesus and the love of Jesus. Absolutely, just like a flood came up in her, and it came down and ran down her arm and into his. And she started shaking his hand, and she said, "I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you. I forgive you 1,000 times. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I forgive you. I forgive you." What she couldn't do, Jesus did. The name of Jesus did. There's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Forgiveness for small offenses. Forgiveness for big ones. So those are some of the things that we go to the name of Jesus for in our life. In our life. So we're going to have, what I want to do now is just, I've got some questions and responses. I would like you to do the responses. And it's pretty simple. It's just one response. And it is, we go to the name of Jesus. So I'm going to get you guys to all say that. Can you say that? We go to the name of Jesus. All right, let's do it again. We go to the name of Jesus. All right. So I'm going to ask a question, and you're going to respond with that answer, okay? Where do we go when we need to be saved? Where do we go when we need to be healed? Where do we go when there's bills to be paid? Where do we go when the kids misbehave? Where do we go when the demons must flee? Where do we go when depression must flee? And where do we go when addictions must flee? And where do we go when we need to forgive? Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go? Right, we do. Worship team, would you come up, please? We go to the name of Jesus because there's power. Power in his name. There's power in his name. There's healing in his name. Everything we need, there's in the wonderful name of Jesus. So what we are going to do now, and this is exciting. I think this is so exciting. We are going to release the sound that's in the name of Jesus. And in doing that, we are releasing the power that is in the name of Jesus. So I'm telling you today, we're going to stand in a minute, and we are going to shout the name of Jesus. We sang about that, didn't we? We did. We did. First thing this morning, we sang, I shout the name of Jesus. Because when we shout his name, it releases the sound of his name. And lives are changed. Your life can be changed. Your home can be changed. Your workplace, your neighborhood, where you shop, and most of all, your city is going to be changed. Because we are going to shout with every fiber that's in our being. We are going to shout. Rise up on your feet. Get ready here. We are going to shout with every breath that we have. We're going to take a big breath. We're going to shout. We're going to shout to the north. Which way is north?
That way.
That's north?
No, that way.
Which way? That's north. Yeah. All right. Well, let's hope we get it right. Shout to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And the sound of the name of Jesus is going to run down the streets of this city and change the atmosphere because of what you're doing here this morning. And you know God's given you a mandate, your pastor talked about it, to change the city of Calgary with the gospel. And part of it is releasing the sound of the name of Jesus. All right. You ready to shout?
Yeah.
You ready to shout? You ready? On the count of three and take a big breath. One, two, three.
Message. Thank you. That's my mother-in-law that just shared that word today, and it was a beautiful word. And you know, I give my mother-in-law credit for me calling on the name of Jesus, because she was praying for her daughter, Tara, while she was in Australia, not walking with the Lord at that point, but they had to release her because they knew and they stood in faith knowing that they had to release her to Australia, that she may find the Lord, and she did. And through her, they prayed for her husband, and Tara prayed for her husband. So indirectly, I credit it all to my mother-in-law. It's all her. And you know, she talked about the power in the name of Jesus, and it truly is a powerful name. There's no other name that is greater. There's no other name that is sweeter. And when you accept Christ, when you welcome Jesus into your heart, that gives you authority, as my mother-in-law said. And I'm thankful because I wasn't worthy. I didn't deserve it. I used to say I lived a colorful life, but truly it was immoral. But when I called on the name of Jesus, as we did today, everything changed. I was able to be truthful where I wasn't before. He helped me to gain integrity where I didn't have that before. It helped me to be honest with the only woman I've only been honest with ever for the first time in my life, and that was my wife. And because I'd called on the name of Jesus, she looked at me through God's eyes because He changed things. He changed my mind. He transformed my mind so that I wouldn't be conformed to the world. And you know, I don't like to be scripted when I come up here because I want to speak from my heart, but I do want scripture. And I thank you, Mom, for sharing all that scripture today. And I want to share just a few more scriptures with you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's in this love letter from God to us. And you know, it's a lot about believing. The Bible also tells us that it's not only about believing, because demons believed in Jesus and in God. It's about confessing. And I want to read to you just very quickly Romans 10:9, and I did put a placeholder in my Bible so that I wouldn't be fumbling around. Or maybe I will be fumbling around. But this is what Romans 10:9 says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says this: but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. So today, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you've never confessed with your mouth, remember, believing is only part of it. Demons believe in God. But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then so you will be saved. So I'm going to say this prayer, and I encourage you to be bold and to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. As Pastor Barry says, ABC, it's as easy as ABC. Admit, believe, and confess. Admit you're a sinner, believe that Christ died for you, and confess that He is your Lord and Savior. So I'll ask you to repeat after me. Those who are online, if you've been watching and are at that point where God is speaking to you, this is your opportunity today. And the gospel, my mother-in-law talked about the gospel. It requires a response. So again, I encourage you to respond. And it goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me and that He took my sins upon Himself. And I believe that He raised again from the dead. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer today for the first time, then please tell somebody. If you're in the church today, please tell us. If you're at home, please reach out to us because we'd be happy to pray with you, to provide you with some fellowship, a Bible, and anything you might need to support you on your walk with Jesus. Remember, 5 minutes into this young girl's life, and she had the authority to rebuke demons. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. What a powerful
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.